Well, that little
that'll just send, you know, I don't know if that, that's Sparta, something to admire.
During the Second World War, that little town of Sparta, there's probably 15 boys that didn't come home on there. Rick's uncle didn't come home.
That's actually, my family's over in Europe right now. They're having a service for him over in a little small town in France.
Tell Dave that story.
From World War II?
Mm-hmm. World War II.
Yeah, he was in the Air Force and they crashed over in France.
Actually, there was no Air Force.
Well, the Army Air Force.
Army Air Corps.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he was on it.
So it was before the Air Force?
Yeah. Oh. World War II. Yeah.
After the war, they made it the Air Force.
This is Rick's uncle.
But he was he graduated in 1940, and then the war started there in 41, I guess. And my dad was a few years younger. He graduated in 45, so he was really too young to do World War II. And he just idolized his brother, who was 5 years older. You know, it was his big brother. So his big brother goes, and he's training in all these army training camps, you know, and he got picked for... It was really a big thing to get picked for the Army Air Corps.
Well, he was a bombardier, wasn't he?
Yeah, he wasn't a pilot. He was actually the plane mechanic. So they would share their jobs, but he was trained as the plane mechanic. Mm. So there was five of them on the plane. There was two officers and three enlisted. And he was one of the enlisted that was the plane mechanic. Right before he went over to England to his base, before they started running their missions, he called my dad. My dad's little brother, who was 2 years younger, he graduated in 47. Mm-hmm. Called him down to Lewis.
46.
Called him down. He was just 1 year after my dad.
Yeah.
And so they called him down to Louisiana, where they were getting a ship out of. That was the last time my dad ever seen his brother. And my dad was so proud of him. You know, he went up in this plane, and you know, he paid for his trip down to Louisiana. And my dad had never had a store-bought hamburger from a restaurant until he was 12. And so to take this trip to Louisiana when he was, that would have been in
his 40, brother paid for it.
Yeah, that would have been in 43. So, you know, he was just a young teenager, and it was just unbelievable.
He was 15.
Yeah, he was just.
Probably never been out of Sparta.
No. Yeah, Springfield was farthest he'd been. But he was just crazy to him. And so then his brother takes off and he flies all these missions. And you only had to fly 25. They flew their 25, but they changed it to 50 missions because so many people were dying. So they later I found out they died on their 33rd mission or something. Mm. But what they were doing, they would fly over into Nazi Germany and bomb at night and then come back. It was a B-26 Marauder that they flew. And one of their missions when they were going over, a German plane run into them, and they crashed into a little...
Physically ran into them.
Yeah. Actually, they were the German plane, I guess, the stories is, nobody knows for sure, you know, there's some eyewitness accounts that the people are dead now. But anyway, the German plane was in trouble, I guess. It was kind of like a kamikaze deal. And so they crashed into the bomber.
On purpose,
yeah. Yeah, and the bomber crashes into a field, and it's full of bombs, and so it blows up. But the little, the farm where it crashed.
It was in France, right?
Yeah. What's the name of the place, Julie?
I can't remember.
Lucerne?
Anyway, my sisters and cousin and nephew.
And uncle.
And nieces, got some nieces. Wow. They're over there right now. And they're
really?
Having a,
they actually had the ceremony today to honor them.
Wow.
And are they having it in that field?
So tell
that town,
them why they're honoring them.
Well, where is he buried?
The Americans were big heroes to the French because they were occupied by Germany, and
we were there protecting France.
Was his,
yeah.
So they gave their life for their
was
country.
His body salvaged?
They. Yeah. This is part of the story. This little lady that seen the plane go down, she drugged the bodies and buried them. I'm sure she had help. You know, she owned the farm. But she brought the bodies into her garden and buried them in her garden so the Germans wouldn't get them. Mm-hmm. And then, so the only thing my grandma and grandpa and dad and brother and his little brother knew was that he was missing in action since late June 1944. And not until... After the war, they they found out where he was, and they reburied him in Fort Knox, Kentucky in 1950. And that's the only time my dad, and I think that's why my dad won't fly in an airplane, was because he has a brother that was that flew in those. He's just like...
Has he ever flown?
He flew one time, and that was to go up, fly out to the memorial they had at Fort Knox for his brother.
I'm glad they buried him at Fort Knox.
Military. It's national.
National
cemetery.
So,
well, the national cemetery is here.
So they, I wonder what the story is of how they found where their bodies. I mean, how
this
they
little lady contacted the American.
She was saving their bodies after the war.
Oh.
For the United States.
It went very much longer after that that the. I guess a little bit after Normandy that they.
So they
French
went
was free,
yeah.
liberated.
She was like preserving their bodies.
I wonder,
the war, so
there probably was not much.
No, they're all buried. Basically, they just had all their bodies and all their dog tags.
Yeah.
And that's what was buried in Fort Knox.
Oh.
And when I went to basic training in Fort Knox, I got picked for a week to do flag duty over that cemetery.
Oh,
you
wow.
did basic training in Fort Knox?
Yeah. And so it was really cool that I got to do the...
Oh my
the flag
gosh,
duty there.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, at the time I didn't realize how awesome it was, but now looking back I'm thinking, wow, that was really cool.
We have letters that were written by his grandmother to Manford, and we have them, and on the outside of the envelope they're stamped missing in action.
She got them back.
He
they
never,
sent them
back. Oh. He never read them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And my dad gave me a big pack of stuff. My dad couldn't look at it. He'd give it to me not long ago.
We inherited all of that stuff after Agnes died because Grandpa Jay and Herschel just couldn't handle having it. So we have all of this World War II.
I want to see it.
Man, that's neat, yeah.
And we do have some where they wrote letters back and forth before he went missing. It's like one that he got a canned chicken from her.
Oh.
He goes, oh, this canned chicken is so good. You know, they're eating all this army rations, and so they get a canned chicken in the mail.
Mm. How old was he, Rick?
Well, he graduated high school in 40.
So he's probably 18.
Yeah, he didn't, yeah, so and he died in 44.
22.
He's probably 21 or 22.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the only age you can have. You can't be very old and be in the military because it's such a hard life.
Oh, yeah. It's athletic. I mean,
yeah.
That's why they retire you after 20 years.
Yeah, they won't let you stay past that because you're too old and decrepit.
Mm-hmm.
And
most retired
kids that age.
Most
are,
of my people my age that I went to boot
either.
Camp with and stayed in the military
yeah,
all day.
Just do what you're told.
Military retired people
are
really statistically have a very short life after retirement.
Well, usually career military guys usually have bad drinking problems.
How'd you
overcome that?
Well, I had one, but well, I'll tell you what happened to me. I married a young Catholic girl and she started having babies and I had to keep my nose dry, so I couldn't afford to drink anymore.
That's funny.
Well, very true, though. But war, I was old enough to remember all the rationing and everything, which we didn't buy much anyway, but people couldn't buy tires. Unless you had some kind of a business that was really necessary. We had this old guy named Marion Horton. And he was kind of a mechanic, and he would keep them old tires going, and he could find a used tire. He would cut the tread off of it and put it inside this old tire. But anyway, he was driving along one time, and he had a blowout. And it blew the tire. The tires then had tubes in them. And it blew that tube clear in half. He built him a fire, and he had everybody carried tire irons back in those days. He heated that tire iron and vulcanized that thing back together and put it back in that tire, pumped it up, and went on to Sparta.
Oh, yeah.
Holy.
Wow.
But everybody carried tire tools. When you have a flat, you get them tire tools out and take it off and take the tube out, and you carry a little patching kit, and you patch the leak in it.
It's kind of like bicycle riders do now.
Huh?
Kind of like bicycle riders.
Yeah, bicycle riders later in life, yeah.
Totally. Huh.
But they didn't from 1942. They made cars in 41, called them 1942s, and they didn't make any more until 45. In 45, you had to get on a waiting list to get a car. And when your number, and there was no dickering of price, when your number come up,
totally.
You wanted that
Can
car.
You imagine?
So they even had rations for cars.
Yeah.
Wow.
The metal for the car.
Yeah, you just paid the asking price.
Can you imagine that today?
People would freak out. No instant gratification.
People would freak out about their individual freedoms.
My brother-in-law, Clarence Thompson, had this old Model A. It was a wonderful old car. Just, I guess it would run forever. And he wanted to keep it, but he's never come up for a new car. And that guy said, well, I want that Model A on trade. And he said, well, I'm going to keep it. And he said, nope. He said, you're not getting this new car unless I get that Model A. So he had to let him have the Model A just to get to buy the new car.
Oh, yeah. That's hard lining right there.
Yeah.
His eyes are open there, but.
Did you ever own a Model A?
Yeah, I did in the late 80s.
Wonderful car.
Yeah, they're slow, but I mean, they were nice. They were kind of nostalgic when I was in them.
Junior Tig had one Otis.
I threw my arm out when I was trying to
crank it. Oh, you had to crank it?
That's why I got that rotator cuff.
They're dangerous crank. A lot of guys got their arm broke. Crank those things.
What?
Cranking those Model A's.
It would kick back. It would
kick
back.
Yeah, when the engine started,
they'd backfire.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Even I didn't know.
But anyway, old Junior Tig, Otis bought him an old Model A one time, and it was a pretty good old car. And he wasn't even on a drag. I bought a license, and I would ride around with him because he could drive as long as he had a licensed driver, and I didn't know how to drive.
Did you hear that? He bought a license?
He's told me this before. He went to the bank and bought a license for 25 cents. Yeah.
But anyway, he would shift, he would quit using his clutch, he would shift the gears. In fact, and he got where, even sitting still, he'd just grab that and jerk it into low, and it would take off.
Weird.
And it wasn't very long. But the last time I rode with him, we stopped there at Muhlenberg's garage and checked the oil in 2 quarts low, and we put 2 quarts oil in. Took off to Ozark, and we had to drive along with the head sticking out the window. It was so smoky in there. The smoke was just boiling up on that floorboard.
That's
we got to Ozark and checked on it. It was 2 quarts low.
2 quarts from there to Ozark.
8 miles, it used 2 quarts low. Well, it just blew it out.
Wow.
There's probably a streak of oil all the way from Sparta. But anyway.
This guy told me that Sparta, when they built that road, I guess they built that road in the 40s.
Yeah,
straight Ozark. During World War II, I guess they built it.
Yeah, it was gravel.
And he said that was the straightest road in the area.
Oh yeah,
it was what?
Straight, the straightest road ever in around the Ozarks, around that area. So people would come to race there from all over.
Oh. Legally or illegally?
Well, let's
illegally.
See.
I can see that.
I forget now where you went down there so far, and then you had a crooked little road you followed off of. Down to Tollesbury, you know where Tollesbury lived? That was as far as the road went.
You couldn't get to Ozark then?
And you turned off there and went in. You come into Ozark on top of the hill up with that old, old water tower.
Oh, yeah.
And then they straightened that, built that road on out there and then to the top of the...
Why would they... What congressman had to pull to build a road during World War II?
You were here, Dewey Short.
How did they get the resources and everything during that time? Because those boys would look like they'd have been needed overseas doing something.
Was that? But there wasn't a civilian
they had older
conservation
guys.
Thing.
Okay. Did you ever know Lee Roberts?
Yeah, I didn't like Lee Roberts because he's the one that turned us in on our deal. Remember?
Okay. Lee Roberts got a contract to gravel a road from Sparta to Ava, and he bought two flatbed trucks, brand new, hired a couple of guys, and they would drive down to the creek, shovel gravel on there, and drive back over and throw it out on there. The time they had to gravel that all the way to Ava, he had those trucks paid for. That's how he got the truck in the business. Graveling the road from Sparta to Ava.
On the government contract?
Yeah. State contract.
State contract.
I bet he wasn't very honest either.
Oh, no. He probably...
With the top state.
Well, turned off and on again.
I don't know how he had permission, where he got the gravel, but he went down the creek and got it.
Probably just went down and got
it. Yeah, just wherever he could find some. Mm-hmm.
Well, he probably has to be in it, Annie.
For the music?
Oh, probably.
For the music?
Body weight, probably.
Mm-hmm.
No, It's not swinging.
Swing, yeah, you're right, I think, yeah.
I was gonna see what the...
She was gonna see what the top one was like.
Oh my gosh, put a bowling ball on there or something.
I have a bowling ball.
I put it on high fall ago.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, he was in there.
Did he stay in it?
Yeah, he came out here to catch it.
It swang him like those old swings swang our kids.
Really fast?
I feel like the lowest one is fast.
Me too.
But there's a big black market in those stamps during the war.
What stamps?
Ration stamps?
Yeah. Yeah, if you had a stamp you didn't want...
You know, I had some mills and some stamps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my dad had
some plastic mills and some aluminum.
What is a mill?
Plastic.
Tenth of a penny. Half of a penny and a tenth of a penny. You could have a 5 mil or...
1 mil.
There was, some of them were plastic. Is that the tenth?
They first started making them kind of out of pot metal, and then whoever invented plastic, they started making them out of plastic then.
But you didn't have much.
When I was a kid, Dave, when I was a kid, my dad... He had a couple of Indian head pennies, but he had a half a penny in the cupboard.
Yeah, they're bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you ever see one?
I know them, yeah. I have
one. It was really called a half
you
a penny.
Have one?
Yeah, it was a half a penny. Thing. Well, old Patrick Gass, he was a big drinker, see, and he got after he come back from that Lewis and Clark, he had kept a record of what he spent his pension on.
Grog.
He bought whiskey. A quart of whiskey, 12 and a half cents. So you had to have half pennies in. But anyway, I was watching TV the other day, and they said half penny was $6,000 now.
Really?
Wow.
Man, we need to look for some, Dylan, since we got some.
I've got some of those somewhere.
I never heard of a half penny.
Well, there is such a thing.
Dad and I used to collect coins before my baseball card days.
What's a half penny?
Worth a half of a penny.
What does it look like?
It's a larger.
It's bigger than a penny.
It's a quarter. It's copper.
No.
So the 5 mil, that wouldn't be. That was different.
No, that was not it. That was to pay your tax.
We loved the pennies during the wartime pennies. I thought that was the coolest
steel ones,
thing.
Them steel pennies.
Were they steel or silver?
Steel.
They were.
They're cheap. Cheapest thing you can.
I've got some upstairs.
They rust.
The coolest thing.
They were rust if you get them.
Isn't there like one of those war pennies though, like a 1943 or something, worth a lot of money in it?
There's a 1909. That's worth a ton.
They made any.
They made
three.
Maybe that's why they're worth a lot of money.
'43 was when they were all steel, then, wasn't it?
They made pennies, but they made them out of different metal.
Yeah, they didn't make no copper pennies from '43. They were all steel.
'43, '44, '45.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it was. I have them upstairs. I thought it's fun to those we collected those things, and it's a cool connection to kind of help understand a little bit of history.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm wondering about that half penny, but when I got Patrick's journal, then at the end it had a list of what
I remember reading that.
Yeah, where he had spent his pension, and a lot of things. It was so many. Cents and a half, like that. The only one I remember is a quart of whiskey was 12 and a half.
You gotta be careful what you write down. I'm gonna write down stuff like that. I'm gonna write down, if I buy whiskey, I'm gonna write down something else.
Yeah.
You bought a pair of pants.
Tell the truth how much you spent for it.
And give this much to charity.
Yeah.
Well, when we'd go overseas where we didn't have to pay tax, we could go to the exchange and buy whiskey.
Funny. What is it?
A fifth of whiskey, the most I ever paid for over Caesar was $1.25.
It's really good. What is it?
The rest of it's all fat.
What is it?
We had this old gunner's mate, old
I
Sam Sapp.
And she goes, it's my
and
last
we,
one.
And we could bring, being goes, chief petty officers, we could bring
it's my last one.
Five fifths of whiskey.
It's really good.
And a chief's club would put them in this little packet.
Ladies, do you want me to make you some?
But anyway, old Sam would bring his five in there, and he'd put it in his footlocker, and he'd go and get five more. And he had that footlocker completely full of whiskey.
My God.
We left Japan and headed back to the States. By the time we got back to the States, that footlocker was empty, and Sam, he was drunk all the way across. We got there, his family come down to beat the ship. We couldn't wake him up.
That's awful to wake your family drunk. That's going to be awful to meet your family wasted like that.
But anyway, he had the Silver Star. He was a World War II veteran. He had a Silver Star. He'd got somewhere. So
maybe you and I ought to go to.
When you get a Silver Star in the Navy, you know, they treat you with respect.
You get anything?
Yeah, we would.
But they transferred him to Great Lakes.
Because they're probably cheaper than Mama Jane's.
And he was gone for a couple of weeks, and I went over to Chief's Club, and there said, Sam. I said, what are you doing here, Sam? I thought you got
going to
Great Lakes.
Mama
he said, I didn't like it.
Just because that's all we got.
He didn't like it, and he just come back, and they found out where he was, and they just cut him a set of orders and transferred him back there to Long Beach.
Lord, Lord.
I don't know.
I didn't like it.
He didn't like the Great Lakes.
He had a lifetime job, didn't he?
They have a health
huh? He had a lifetime job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I buy stuff from there. Okay, yeah.
With the Silver Star.
Organic coffee. Right. They sell the same kind
of
stuff.
Above and beyond the Call of Duty, yeah. I guess.
Is that the next one down from the Congressional?
Yeah, Congressional. That's the highest you can get without the Congressional medal.
You almost got to die to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You almost got to die to
get it. Most people who get it are dead. It's posthumous.
Yeah, just recently someone from today's war got that and was alive.
I think, yeah. Obama was really celebrated. Hung it on him the other day, didn't he?
Yeah.